Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
This episode contains distressing themes and descriptions of sexual violence. This podcast is intended for a mature audience. Listener caution is advised. They Walk Among Us is part of the Acast Creator Network. Today, if you go to Dalston in London, you will likely be attending a music festival or gig, enjoying time in a wine bar or one of the many restaurants. However, the location in the borough of Hackney, with its farmers' markets and high rents, wasn't always such a coveted place. During the 1980s, Dalston was known as a bustling but impoverished area. In the early 80s, July 19th, 1982 to be exact, 4-year-old Rodine Cunningham and her grandmother Mavis made their way to Kingsgate Estate in Dalston after spending the weekend together. Rodine's father Keith was in Spain visiting his brother, international and Real Madrid footballer Laurie Cunningham. Rodine was looking forward to being reunited with her mother Norma Richards and her older sisters 9-year-old Samantha and 7-year-old Soretta. But when she arrived at the Maisonette with her grandmother, they found that the front door was already ajar. Welcome to Season 7, Episode 36 of They Walk Among Us, a podcast dedicated to UK true crime. Mavis began to scream when she entered the house, before running out of the door begging for someone to help, all while 4-year-old Rodine stood in shock at the sight of her mother's body. There were clear signs of some sort of struggle, and in the lounge, Norma Richards' bloodied and naked body was partially covered by an upturned sofa. Mavis's cries for help were heard by a postman on his rounds. He cautiously entered the home and walked upstairs in search of Norma's young daughters. As he slowly explored the property, he entered the bathroom. The postman found the girls' lifeless bodies on top of one another in the cold water of the bathtub. In Investigators from Scotland Yard were dispatched immediately and began examining the crime scene, while Mavis and Rodine were left to somehow process what they had found. Norma Richards' clothes were recovered near her body. It was apparent the 27-year-old had suffered a violent sexual and physical assault before she was stabbed 4 times in the neck and chest with such force that the blade went through her body. The weapon had perforated her breastbone, heart, and a lung, causing catastrophic blood loss. 7-year-old Soretta had been drowned in the bath. A thumb was still in her mouth when she was discovered beneath the body of 9-year-old Samantha. Samantha had been stabbed at least 8 times, in the neck, chest, arm, stomach, and back, before her body was stripped and dumped in the cold water. Officers searched the property for a murder weapon and were drawn to a 19th century bayonet that hung on the wall in the lounge. They dusted the area surrounding the bladed ornament and discovered fingerprints and a partial palm print close to it. Despite the violent scene, none of the neighbours reported hearing anything suspicious. In the wake of the shocking triple murder, Jean Grant, who lived opposite Norma's maisonette, spoke to a correspondent for the Evening Standard, offering her thoughts and describing the relationship she had with her neighbour. Jean said, "I just cannot understand what happened. She was such a lovely girl. I've known her for a couple of years. I last saw her on Friday and she seemed fine then. I rang her home Saturday night to invite her to a party, but there was no answer. As far as I know, she didn't have any enemies. She lived with her boyfriend, but he is away in Spain at the moment. I'm just so upset about it. I cannot understand what happened. It must have been somebody breaking into the flat." Norma Richards had gone out with friends that night after her daughters were put to bed. The last place she was seen before going home was a club across the street from where she lived, the Four Aces, a popular nightclub with Hackney's black community. Norma had been spotted leaving in the early hours of the morning. No one reported seeing or hearing anything suspicious after she got home. Norma's partner Keith rushed back to the UK from Madrid to be with his young daughter, but he was at a loss as to who would have wanted to hurt Norma or their children. Voicing the constabulary's frustrations, a spokesperson for Scotland Yard addressed reporters and said, "We are baffled. There was no robbery, no evidence of a break-in, and the neighbours heard nothing." It would later be revealed that messages were left behind by the killer. Bizarre scribblings, painted on the walls and doors in nail varnish, containing the letters NF. This was believed to stand for a right-wing party called the National Front. The brother of Norma Richards' partner, Laurie Cunningham, was one of the first black footballers to represent England and played for the Spanish club Real Madrid after a successful career at West Bromwich Albion. It was theorized that the murders could have been racially motivated, as tensions were rising in the capital. At the beginning of the decade, there were an increasing number of reports of police brutality against people in the black community, which resulted in a level of mistrust between young black people and the men and women in uniform who were supposed to protect them. Stop and search laws left black people feeling as though they were being unfairly suspected of crimes due to racial prejudice from the Metropolitan Police Force. Tensions had reached boiling point in April 1981, when protests against police brutality erupted into violence, and 3 days of rioting in Brixton followed. Aside from suspected racism within the police force, there were also fascist political parties gaining support in London. The National Front was a far-right group who were opposed to immigration and multinationalism. As Britain became a more diverse and multicultural society, the National Front provoked fear, leading to violent clashes in areas with large black communities. With the party's initials being graffitied at the crime scene, many in the area felt it must have been a racially motivated murder. That, or it could have been a deliberate red herring left by the murderer. It was easy to direct the blame elsewhere, considering the mounting tension at the time. Frustratingly, 6 months passed without any progress in the investigation. This prompted Laurie Cunningham to use his platform to highlight the lack of action by the police. Speaking to a reporter in Madrid, Laurie said, "There are a lot of National Front members in the police. If it had been 3 white persons killed, they'd have already found the criminal." The officer in charge of the murder inquiry, Detective Chief Superintendent Charles Robertson, angrily dismissed the footballer's claim and told a reporter for the Evening Standard, "It is ridiculous to suggest we have dragged our feet. We have done everything possible to catch the murderer. We believe the person who did this was someone close to the family or someone who knew the family." But even so, years went by, and the case was far from being solved. The victim's family were again struck by tragedy in 1989, when 33-year-old Laurie Cunningham was killed in a car crash in Madrid. The triple murder investigation had long gone cold, although the victims were still remembered within the community. Journalist Peter Law began researching Laurie Cunningham's life for a book he was writing in 2008, when he learned of the murders. 26 years had passed, and Law contacted the police to learn more about the inquiry. This prompted a cold case review the following April. The Murder Review Group discovered that the majority of the case files on the triple murder had been destroyed, but a semen sample taken during Norma's post-mortem and the fingerprints found on the wall beneath the bayonet were held by the Forensic Science Service. In 1982, there was very little the investigators could do with the sample or the prints unless they had a suspect to compare them with. But by 2009, advancements in DNA and forensic technology meant the evidence could be run through the National DNA database. A profile was created from the semen sample and compared against known offenders. After 27 long years, they found a match, and the case was passed on to the Homicide and Serious Crime Command to investigate further. The suspect was identified as a lifelong offender, Wilbert Anthony Dice.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger. Feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Fifty-four-year-old Wilbert Dice had moved to the UK from Jamaica as a child. By his teens, he had numerous run-ins with the law. Between the 1970s and 2006, Dice had been convicted of a number of offences ranging from petty theft and burglary to robbery, assault, and possession of a deadly weapon. His DNA was on file as a result of his convictions, as were his fingerprints, which matched those found at the scene. And in October 2009, Dice was arrested at his home in Forest Gate, East London. During the initial interviews, Dice was furious at the accusation that he had murdered Norma Richards and her daughters in 1982. He adamantly denied knowing Norma at all and told the investigators that they were ruining his life. When Dice was confronted with the DNA evidence, Dice then claimed that he had consensual sex with Norma in the toilets of the Four Aces Club on the night of the murders. Because he professed to have had sexual intercourse, the evidence alone could not prove Dice was the killer. So he was released on bail while the investigation continued. The arrest in the decades-old murder case received a lot of publicity, and the reports were seen by several women who came forward to tell the police about their experience with Wilbert Dice. The first to speak up was Dice's ex-wife, Pauline Griffiths, who had been married to him for 18 years until they divorced in 2003. She told the investigators that during their relationship, Dice had been extremely violent and attacked her with a knife on three occasions. In other assaults, Dice used gym equipment, a bike chain, and a hammer. He also threatened to shoot his then wife with a shotgun. Pauline said, "In 1990, I had set a bath before an argument started, and he put my head underneath the water, and I was trying to get breath. I was under the water for a very long time. Then he pulled my head out. Then he took a knife and cut me." Another woman came forward to report that Wilbert Dice had followed her home from a club in 1982, when her boyfriend was away. The victim was wearing a nightgown when Dice forced his way inside. Describing the attack, the woman said, "He pushed me into the living room. He was stronger than me. He grabbed hold of me. He was trying to have sex with me. I was telling him, no, stop." The victim later told her boyfriend, who confronted Dice, and a physical altercation broke out. Her boyfriend later said, "He didn't fight back and kept saying he was sorry. He was not denying it." A third woman also reported that Dice had assaulted her 4 years later in 1986. She was at home alone with her 18-month-old daughter when she heard a knock on the door in the early hours of the morning. She was pregnant at the time, and in a sleepy haze assumed the silhouette behind the frosted glass of the front door was her partner, so she opened it. The woman was surprised to see Dice, someone she recognized from the area. He asked her if her boyfriend was home. She said he wasn't. Dice asked if he could use her bathroom. Unaware of the danger he posed, the woman agreed and went back into her bedroom to check on her daughter, who was still sleeping. Detailing the event, she said, "I went back to my baby in the bedroom and felt a knife to my neck. I certainly felt the knife. I can remember it as if it were yesterday. He was naked, but he had black gloves on. I didn't want to make my baby cry, so I didn't scream. And I did everything he said." The victim was too afraid to report the sexual assault. And just months later, Dice forced her into a tower block in South London at knife point and assaulted her again. It was not until the women saw Wilbert Dice's name in the paper in relation to the triple murder inquiry that they felt able to report what had happened to them. With witnesses willing to testify about Dice's history of sexual violence and knife possession, the investigators just had to disprove his claim that he had consensual sex with Norma in the Four Aces on the night she was killed. Luckily, although the club had long been closed, it was a prominent spot in the community. Many remembered how impossible it would have been for anyone to have sex in the toilets without an audience. In April 2010, Wilbert Dice was arrested and charged with 3 counts of murder and 1 count of burglary. Wilbert Anthony Dice went on trial at London's Old Bailey in November 2010. As he sat in the dock, Dice appeared more inconvenienced than concerned about the legal proceedings. Aftab Jaffa GQC addressed the jury, telling them that the prosecution argued that Dice had followed Norma home from the club that night and told her he knew her partner Keith in order to gain her trust. The prosecution believed that when Norma rejected Dice's advances, he raped and murdered her. Jaffa G told the jury, "This is a particularly distressing case, not only because it involves 3 murders, but the victims of these almost unspeakable acts of cold-blooded murder are a mother and 2 young daughters. Miss Richards was found completely naked in the living room with furniture upturned. A rapist then went on to become her murderer." The prosecutor spoke about the decade when the crimes occurred. "These murders took place in 1982. It was an age of some promiscuity, prior to the onset of the restraining influence of AIDS and the advances of DNA profiling. Albeit an age of promiscuity, it did not mean that a woman was not entitled to say no. She did say no, and it cost her her life and the lives of her children. It is an irresistible inference that her children awoke to see their mother being raped or murdered. Their crime was to have seen their mother's attacker, and so their young lives had to be violently snuffed out. Aftab Jafarji QC told the jury that the defendant had tried to mislead the police by writing the National Front initials on the walls to make it seem like a racially motivated attack. Quote, "The diversion was doomed to failure, and not even the original 1982 investigations fell for that. It was the twin factors of DNA profiling and cold case reviews which caught up with the killer." Wilbert Dice's ex-wife and the two women who reported that he had sexually attacked them in the 1980s also testified during the three-week trial, bravely describing their ordeals in front of a packed courtroom. In the end, after all the evidence was presented, the jury reached verdicts on all charges. Wilbert Dice was found guilty. Judge Anthony Morris QC addressed Dice before handing down a sentence. The judge said, "I'm satisfied that in the 1980s you were a sexual predator and a habitual carrier of knives. These were offences of unspeakable brutality and utmost gravity. You got away with these offences for 28 years, and since your arrest last year you have shown no remorse whatsoever. These murders were exceptional. There are no mitigating features. You will serve a whole life order, which means you will never be released." So where are we now? Norma Richards' brother Dalton spoke to the press following Wilbert Dice's conviction. He expressed his inconceivable sense of loss after the killings. 28 years ago, a light went out in our lives when our sister and her daughters were horrifically murdered in their home. In all this time, we have struggled to come to terms to see how and why a human being could take their lives in such a horrific manner. Dalton called Dice an evil murderer and said his imprisonment would bring the family some closure. Norma's surviving daughter, Rodine, who had been present when the bodies of her mother and sisters were discovered 2 days after they were killed, had delivered a victim personal statement following the verdicts. Then aged 32, Rodine Cunningham said, "After the funeral, I went to live with my dad's parents. I had a good upbringing. I enjoyed school, had a lot of friends, but at the back of my mind, my mum and sisters were dead. I couldn't understand who would want to hurt them. It was hard for me to show emotion. No one in the family would talk about it or talk to me. I would have a cry now and again. I would turn the music up loud in my room so my gran couldn't hear me. It was weird going from being the youngest to the eldest, not being able to talk to my sisters about boys, makeup and secrets. Before they were murdered, I remember taking their things and running off, having fun and laughing with them. What could it have been like growing up with them? I'll never know. I never got the chance. As I got older, it got harder. I knew they weren't coming back. Every year on my birthday, I would cry. It would be tears of happiness as I remembered them all. but also of great sadness. But none of the family talked about Mum. I guess it was too much for them. They must have been too horrified to even say her name. I don't think it was deliberate, just too painful to talk about. Rodine Cunningham had since become a mother herself, and she spoke about the loss her daughter incurred as a result of losing three family members in such an awful way. Rodine continued, "My own daughter has lost her aunts and her grandmother. When I told her what had happened to my mum, she became really scared something would happen to me. And even though she never met them, I know she misses them. I will never have my mum back to hug or see her smile. I will never be able to share a laugh or evening out with my sisters. But I will always have them in my heart, and that will never change. I fell pregnant at 18. I wanted my mum so bad, to hear her say she was there for me and to hold her granddaughter for the first time. I told myself I can be a good mother, be the mother my mum would have been. It wasn't just me who lost them. My dad did too. I can see the pain in his eyes whenever my mum and sisters were mentioned. He has lost his way in a nightmare he can't wake up from." Detective Chief Superintendent Stephen Lawrence from the Homicide and Serious Crime Command spoke following the sentencing. He described Wilbert Dice as an evil, violent man who preys on the weak and vulnerable, who never accepted responsibility for his crimes, nor at any stage did he show remorse. He lied and denigrated the victim's reputation by giving evidence that he and Norma had sex in the toilets of a club, the officer said. "It is a tribute to all concern that members of the community in East London now have the confidence in police to come forward and assist. This case highlights the determination of the Met Police to solve every murder and bring those responsible to justice. A case is never closed." Thank you for listening, and special thanks to our Patreon supporters. For more information on this episode, please see the show notes or visit our website, awalkamonguspodcast.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.